Our Australian Open second round coverage continues tonight, 7 Eastern on ESPN Plus, 9 Eastern on ESPN News, 10 Eastern on ESPN2. The highlight, you will see Coco Gauff and you will see Rafa Nadal. All the tennis action is coming your way from Melbourne. Meanwhile, we are going through our favorite plays of the season, and Ryan Clark is up next. RC, what was your favorite play?
You know what? When this play happened, it was one of my favorite plays. But after watching Devin White punch people in the face after interceptions and throw dudes out of bounds and then talk to him in his face, it became even more so my favorite play. Look at this dude hawk down Derek Carr and not push him out of bounds, not let him run out of bounds, but show him that, say, bro, you play quarterback and I am a trained killer. Devin White is a superstar, and this was a play that highlighted it.
Absolutely. If they had made him the MVP of the Super Bowl, it would have been fully justified. And with that, we welcome you back, as always, live from the Seaport District at Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. I am Greeny. This is Get Up, and we have a huge hour coming your way. And it starts with this. It's a quarterback sneak. McShay's McBoard is in. And wait till you see the first four picks. He's with us live to break them down off the top. Then, wait a minute. What did Russell say? Is he talking about getting traded from Seattle? The wildest ride in NFL history continues. And then we'll tell you how the Deshaun Watson saga plays out and what it will mean for every team in the NFL. All that and more as we get up with you in this hour, which starts right now with Todd McShay's post-Super Bowl mock draft. It's available right now on ESPN+. Oh, and it's fascinating. A number one, there's no big surprise. He's got Trevor Lawrence going number one to Urban Meyer and the Jaguars. But here's where it gets interesting. He also has quarterbacks going 2, 3, and 4. At 2, he has the Jets taking BYU's Zach Wilson, who has been rising up everybody's draft board. He has been the talk of this NFL draft process so far. At 3 overall, he's projecting a trade. The Panthers moving up from 8 to take North Dakota State's Trey Lance to be their quarterback of the future, which leaves Ohio State's Justin Fields sitting there at 4, and McShay has the Falcons taking him. Fields with the second highest total QBR in college football this season, and then Mac Jones sliding down a little bit later to make 5 quarterbacks in the first round, and there he is, the man with the McBoard. It is McShay, and it's awesome. Let's start with this, Todd. We all understand Trevor Lawrence is going number one. Nothing even to discuss. How firmly planted in your mind is Zach Wilson right now as the number 2 quarterback in this draft?
I think very firmly. The first thing I do when the season is over is I go and study the top quarterbacks, because I know that's what we're going to talk about for the majority of this process leading up to the draft. And after Lawrence, there's a little bit of a gap. And then it's Zach Wilson. And then there's a gap between guys like Trey Lance from North Dakota State and Justin Fields from Ohio State. So I think he is clearly the number 2 quarterback in this class. The question becomes, Greeny, is it the Jets taking him at 2, or are the Jets going to move out and allow a team like a Carolina to move up to that number 2 spot to take him? And that all depends on, you know, the dominoes in terms of the veteran quarterbacks right now. Where does Deshaun Watson wind up? Carson Wentz, we know, is going to get moved. Is it Chicago or Indianapolis? I think Joe Douglas, the general manager, is kind of waiting and seeing where some of these other quarterbacks go, and he's fielding phone calls. He's not aggressively making calls, but fielding calls to see maybe if they can move Sam Darnold. And if they do, I think Zach Wilson's the pick for the Jets at number 2. And if not, as I said, I think that the Jets will move out of 2, and Wilson will still wind up being that number 2 overall pick in this class.
I agree with you. I've been saying for a while, I agree with you completely. He'll be number 2. The question is who winds up making the pick. Then the other part of this is I'm old enough to remember a time when we wondered if Justin Fields might supplant Trevor Lawrence as the number 1 pick in this draft. Now, all of a sudden, he's the 4th quarterback off the board. How did that happen?
Well, you go back and you study games against Indiana, Northwestern, and then the college football playoff national championship game against Alabama. He completed around 52% of his throws with 5 interceptions in those games. In my opinion, you look at him physically. He's big, he's sturdy, he's strong, he's mobile, he's got a big arm. He has all the traits that you look for, but he likes to see his receivers come open and get stuck on that first read very frequently. So now you compare him with Trey Lance, and I have identical grades on the two. Trey Lance didn't play the level of competition, didn't play as many games as Justin Fields, but I think he processes the game a little quicker in terms of going from his first read to his second and third and seeing the entire field. So it won't surprise me if Fields is the 3rd quarterback off the board, but I think they're kind of bunched together in that 3rd tier of quarterbacks behind Lawrence, Wilson, and then the other 2.
And then I want to ask you about the guy that you currently have fifth, because I'm a regular listener of the First Draft podcast, and so I'm listening the other day to you and Field Yates and Mel Kiper talking about what was going on at the Senior Bowl, and everyone is raving about Mac Jones. Your buddy Mel had Mac Jones moving up this thing, and I believe he has him sort of, I believe he has him projected higher than you have him projected. What do you see for Mac Jones as this process goes on? Right now you have him the fifth quarterback in the first round.
Well, I think what's going to happen is Mac Jones is going to benefit from the fact that these four quarterbacks are going to come off the board quickly. And it's probably going to be because of trades moving up. I have Mac Jones going number 12 overall right now in a trade. I had Chicago moving up to 12 and supplanting San Francisco moving back to 20. We have to see where Carson Wentz goes. Does he go to Chicago or does he go to Indianapolis? Those are two teams I continue to hear. And then one of those two teams could be, you know, musical chairs without a chair, and may need to move up into that top 15 range to go get the quarterback. We also don't know about Jimmy Garoppolo. Is he going to be a 49er? So there's so many pieces in this pre-draft process that have to fall for us to figure out where the quarterbacks wind up going. But I think Mac Jones is going to be the fifth quarterback and somewhere in that 10 to 25 range in this year's draft.
Correct. It's impossible to know which teams are going to wind up when we get to that point in the process needing them. That's why the order, to me, is the more interesting piece of this as far as what order you place them in. And so, Mike Tannenbaum, I want to bring you into the conversation with Todd here because I know you're very high on Mac Jones, maybe higher than some of the other quarterbacks we're talking about.
That's exactly right, Greg. When you look at the season he had a better season this year than Tua Tagovailoa did last year with a lot less weapons. For most of this year, he only had one first-round pick, Devontae Smith, at receiver with Jaylen Waddle being hurt. And you look at how he finished the year at Florida, Notre Dame, National Championship game, Senior Bowl. He is closing the gap fast. He has great measurables, underrated athleticism, and he is the third-best quarterback, in my opinion, a little bit behind Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson I like, but again, he's been hurt. He's had hand and shoulder injuries. And when you've been hurt in college, recent history shows you're going to get hurt in the pros like Carson Wentz and like Tua Tagovailoa. So to me, Mac Jones is closing fast. I think his absolute floor is 8 at Carolina. Todd, we were there together in Mobile. You could see how much Coach Rhule liked Mac Jones, and I think that's his floor.
Go ahead, Todd.
Yeah, first of all, Matt Rhule told me, and I've never had a coach be so specific about something. Matt Rhule, his defensive coordinator and another assistant coach said the same thing. We lost 8 games last year by one score. We need a guy that can lead that drive in the fourth quarter. So that's why I made the trade, Carolina moving up to go get their guy. Maybe it is Mac Jones. Maybe it is Trey Lance. Maybe it's Justin Fields. The hard part about this class, after you get past the first two with Lawrence and Wilson, is you're talking about Fields, who played one game this year and is coming from the 1AA FCS level, if you will. Then you talk about Justin Fields, and he's at Ohio State and didn't play well in the biggest games this past year. And then you're looking at Mac Jones, who had 3 offensive linemen who are going to be drafted relatively high, a running back who's going to likely be a first-round pick in Najee Harris. And yes, I know Jaylen Waddle was out, but John Metchie stepped in and was a tremendous talent for Alabama, across from the best wide receiver, maybe the best season we've seen from a wide receiver in Devontae Smith in the history of college football. So he had everything going for him with a great offensive coordinator in Steve Sarkisian. So there's a lot to work through. The thing I'll say is that Fields and Lance have more mobility and create and can extend plays more than Mac Jones can. But Mac Jones is great inside the pocket and so accurate throwing the football down the field.
And then quickly, RC, I'd like the point that you made earlier about how Zach Wilson being at number 2, part of that is out of fear on the part of the people making these decisions. I love that thought.
I disagree with Todd on the Justin Fields thing. You know I'm a Justin Fields fan. I thought the Clemson game was a big football game, and I thought he played exceptionally well, and he outplayed Trevor Lawrence. But when you look at Zach Wilson and you think about names like Aaron Rodgers, you think about names like Patrick Mahomes, some of these people he's being compared to, you can see that stuff on tape. You can see the arm talent. You can see the ability to create and throw wide receivers open. And when guys look at what Patrick Mahomes is drafted at number 10 and the people that passed on him, when you look at what Aaron Rodgers is drafted in the mid-20s, and the teams that passed on him, and those two guys are all-time greats. I don't think you can pass up on Zach Wilson. So whether it's the Jets at number two or if someone moves up to get him, I think when they see that type of arm talent, when they see that type of upside, and then look at players who he can be compared to, you have to pull the trigger on him early, because he's a dude who could be not only a great quarterback in this league, but someone who ascends to the top tier of quarterbacks and becomes a Super Bowl winner.
Quick thought on that, McShay. I like that thought. The team's passed on those two guys, and now they regret it.
Yeah, that's why I have four quarterbacks going early. It's never happened in the history of the common draft era, and with four quarterbacks going consecutively, one through four. And I don't know that Atlanta's going to wind up taking a quarterback there. But I do think once we see Trevor Lawrence go one, then Zach Wilson go two, teams are going to start to get nervous. And we're going to have to see which teams still need quarterbacks. Is it Dallas? Is it New England at 15? Is it Chicago at 20? Indy at 21? There are several other teams that could be in the mix when it's all said and done. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens in the next few weeks and getting into free agency. But ultimately, I think these quarterbacks are going to come off the board quickly and probably faster than we've seen in the last couple decades.
Well, that would be Todd with the McBoard. Again, you can see the entire thing on ESPN+. And I do recommend that First Draft podcast if you're interested in this stuff, as I am. McShay, thank you very much. So much more to come as we continue here on Get Up. Coming up, Russell Wilson is tired of taking the hits. Why is he chosen now to speak up? And is his team listening? Plus, Deshaun Watson wants out. The Texans insist he's not going anywhere. We've got a bold prediction on where he'll be playing next season as we continue. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
All right, this got super interesting yesterday. Since becoming the Seattle Seahawks starting quarterback in 2012, Russell Wilson has taken 394 sacks, 28 more than any other player in his first 9 seasons. However, despite Seattle's inability to protect him, Wilson has still been outstanding. He's thrown 289 touchdowns, 4th most of any player in that span, and he's thrown for the 6th most yards of any quarterback since he came into the league as well. So Russell Wilson might be feeling what a lot of us are sensing, which is they don't do enough to protect him, and he still overcomes it. He was talking about that and more with Dan Patrick yesterday.
Yeah, I definitely believe the guy in calls for sure. I didn't think that, anytime you're, a player that, tries to produce every week and has done it for, consistently, I think people are going to call for sure. And I think it's part of the process. I'm not sure if I'm available or not. That's a Seahawks question. But I think more than anything else is, I think at the end of the day, you want to win. You play this game every day to wake up to win.
All right, hold everything. Dan Graziano, I need you to tell me that I'm not living in a world now where we have to wait and see if Russell Wilson is going to get traded this offseason.
You're not, but Greeny, if you've seen Stranger Things, you know that the upside down is just on the other side of a gate that it can pop open if the wrong thing happens. And this may be the cracking open of that gate, and all of a sudden we could have Demogorgons flooding into this world and doing things like trading Russell Wilson away from the Seahawks. Look, it's not going to happen this year. It's a $39 million cap hit if the Seahawks do it. It's a bargain for the acquiring team. There's no price that could possibly justify doing it right now. But this is Russell Wilson. Like, he never says anything remotely like this. So the fact that he's He knows exactly how it sounds and exactly how people are going to take it, I promise. And the fact that he's out here saying this stuff is a warning to the Seahawks of, hey, this is a situation that could start to get bad if the right things don't happen. He wants to win. He's not kidding at that stuff he says about win. He named his most recent child Win, W-I-N. He is not messing That's around. True. If they don't start winning that. Like they did early in his career, he could be a problem for them going forward.
Dominic, this feels
right.
This feels important to me because, to Dan's point, this is one where it would be really easy to say nothing. Look, I'm a Seattle Seahawk. I have no thoughts of going anywhere. I don't know if they're calling or not, but it doesn't matter to me. He didn't say that. What does that suggest to you, Neek?
No, it was a hint to them, and I think it suggested to me that Russell has started to learn that no one is going to remember him for how nice a guy he is. Like, we'll pretend like you're a good dude if you ball out and win. We talk about a lot of guys in the Hall of Fame who I'm sure were not great people, but if they win enough games, that is fine. No one's going to put you in the Hall of Fame because you were a good soldier and you didn't push back. And I think Russell has learned that, and he's pushing this team. So I think part of the reason why his kind of pushback or threat, so to speak, was timid was because the Seahawks haven't been terrible to him like how the Texans have been to Deshaun Watson. So, like, this just came across my mind during the commercial break. The Texans are Gorilla Glue Girl, like Tessica Brown. That is the Texans. They have gotten themselves into a sticky situation because of the bad decisions that they've made, and then they are going to turn around and look at Deshaun Watson and call him the player and say, you know what? It don't move. Yes, it moves, and it is going to move because you guys are the ones who put yourselves in this situation. So let go, move on from Tessica, or else you're going to end up in a worse situation, and we're going to remember your career as one of the quarterbacks, one of the players who could have been, should have been, maybe almost was great, but got failed.
I get it. But to be clear.
It's a bad idea.
Those situations are different, though, right? What's happening with Deshaun in Houston is one thing. And Mike Tannenbaum, what's happening with Russell in Seattle is another. Maybe they haven't done everything he could ask for, but generally, they've been good. They've won a lot of games. It's the one championship, and maybe they would like more. If you're running that organization right now and you hear that interview on Dan's show, what's the first thing you do?
Yeah, I am trying to solve the problem. I'm going to go see Russell Wilson. I'm going to sit down with him. I'm going to ask him questions, and I'm solving the problem. This whole thing started with Cal McNair screwing up the Houston Texans, and he has to be the guy to solve it there. And this puts tremendous responsibility on owners. This makes everybody from the head coach, GM, and ultimately the owner accountable to create the right environment for these players. And good for Russell Wilson for speaking up.
So you think that he is really saying that? We are now living in a world, Graziano, regardless of what crazy analogies about sci-fi programs that you are going to make, we are living in a world where we have to keep an eye
dead on
Russell Wilson.
Dead on analogy.
That is one of the strangest things I could ever possibly imagine. Parenthetically, I've never seen the show. All right, as we continue, Dak Prescott, you're not going to want to miss Dominique's reaction to the omission that they made in Dallas involving their quarterback. But before we do that, we do this. There's Hembo when he's ready for Graziano today. Russell Wilson gets sacked a lot. Which quarterback had the record for 40 sack seasons before Russell Wilson broke it? We'll see if Graziano can nail that one. This one's tough. And it's next. It's Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Here we go. All right, Graziano, this is a tough one. Which quarterback had the record for 40 sack seasons before Russell Wilson broke it with his 8th?
Yeah, I have no idea. I'm going to take a wild guess. Just go with somebody who played a lot, played for some bad teams, might have got sacked a lot. I'm going to guess Vinny Testaverde.
It's not a bad guess. Hambo, this is an unfairly hard question. The answer is Randall Cunningham, who had seven such seasons. Neil Lomax and Ben Roethlisberger would be next on the list. So Hambo gets a win. Right. I tell you, I mean, Hambo gets wins
one.
With... I'm not going to lie to you, Hambo. I'm not really happy with the way you're playing this game. I mean, after the Norm Van Brocklin thing, I think everything is suspect. One way or another, the score now stands Graziano 10, Hambo 7. So he's up by a field goal. Coming up, the often imitated but never duplicated Ryan Clark's NFL power rankings. Who's the best team in football going forward? You'll find out next.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We are back on Get Up, but I'm not sure if yesterday you saw this viral video of a lawyer who appeared on a Zoom appearing to be a cat. And he actually said the words, "I'm not a cat." Well, Dominique Foxworth saw it, and he tweeted at me and suggested I need to find a way to work that into the show today, because this is a show where we tend to have a lot of fun. And I told him I have most certainly ready to challenge to accept that challenge. And so, with the help of our director, Cindy Morello, I would merely like to say to my friend Dominique Foxworth, we can do this show all day long because I, my friend, am a dog. I am not a cat.
This is not it. See, the whole point was you can't explain it. You have to be awkward and only the people on the inside get it. You undercut the whole premise of the bit, Greedy. You don't explain the jokes. We just make our own jokes, do a show for ourselves.
Well, see, here's the difference between you and I. I'm trying to do a show that lots of people will enjoy, as opposed to one that will not merely make Ryan Clark laugh, which is what we do a lot of on Wednesdays. RC, how do you like this cat that we were able to find for me? RC, your thoughts?
Well, you know, hey, you know what, Greeny, man? I'm just so excited to be here today, brother. I'm here for all of this. I'm here for the way Fox wants to do the show, the way Greeny wants to do the show. So if you want to say that you are not a cat and have a hat, a cat emoji bouncing side to side on your head, then you freaking do it, my man. You have earned the right.
Let the record show, man. That thing is moving without my help. I'm not actually moving my head. Somehow the cat emoji seems to have a mind of its own. Graziano, if you're going to make
strange... disappointed. Hold on, before we get to Dan, I'm still disappointed about two segments ago when I made a fantastic analogy about Tessica Brown, and y'all fools left me hanging. Don't ever put me on here without Ryan Clark again. That was a great analogy, pop culture reference, and nobody even snickered.
One way
what was there to add?
That's because they don't know about the Gorilla Glue, and they don't know about the Get It Girl ponytail, because the Get It Girl ponytail was only famous in the NO.
The only thing I can say is we're not spending nearly enough time talking about my cat face. All right, RC, let's get down to business. Everyone knows that the only power rankings in football that really matter are the ones that you do on this show. And so for the first time this offseason, as we look ahead to a Super Bowl that will be played next year, who in your mind are the five best teams in the NFL, RC, right now?
You know what? Number five, we're going to start in Believe Land, because I believe, listen, LeBron James went back and he brought them a championship. Now maybe Kevin Stefanski and Baker Mayfield can bring a championship to Cleveland. When you watch this team down the stretch, you know what you said? They had an identity. Kevin Stefanski understood what this team was supposed to be. It was supposed to be gritty. It was supposed to be grimy. It was supposed to be like the dog pound that cusses you out and spits at you when you try to warm up. And that's what that team turned into, a physical team team with a quarterback that can make plays and a coach that understands them. So Cleveland Browns are my number five team. At number four, I'm going with the Los Angeles Rams. And I cannot wait till they become number one. And I hope when they become number one, I am in studio so I can cut the fool like I used to do in 2018. We already knew that AD was the man. AD is the defensive player of the year, even when he ain't the defensive player of the year. And Jalen Ramsey is a guy that's in that conversation too. But wait. There's no more Jared Goff, right? There's no more we might bench our quarterback for a dude that started in the AAF that's 5'11". They got Matt Stafford now. And so now we're going to see, is it Sean McVay? Sean McVay, can you make a champion? And at number three, I hear you. At number three, I'm going to go with the Green Bay Packers. And now, I thought about putting this team a little higher, and I said to myself, Aaron Rodgers might be able to get them over the hump, but I just watched two of the teams play in the Super Bowl, and they know how to get there, and it doesn't seem that the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers do. Do they go out and get another weapon? Does this defense find a physical mentality in the middle? Because I still believe that Aaron Rodgers is mad. I still believe that Aaron Rodgers wants to prove to people that he is not over. And ain't no love in the heart of the city. And the heart of the city is Green Bay, Wisconsin, and it's going to be Aaron Rodgers. At number two, I'm going with the Kansas City Chiefs. And I know what I said. I said I'm never betting against Patrick Mahomes. Well, lies I tell, because now I am. You know why? Because I just saw Patrick Mahomes do whatever he could. I saw Patrick Mahomes throw the ball while he was trying to flip. I saw Patrick Mahomes catching the snap in motion because Shaq Barrett, JPP, them boys are some monsters. I also saw Devin White just kill him. So Pat needs some help. I ain't think Pat needs no help, but Pat need help. They need a running game. They need a defense that can stop a nosebleed when Pat ain't killing, so they can't be number one. And at number one is Tom Brady and Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Listen, I don't know who in the hell is going to be on this team next year. Is it going to be is Shaq Barrett going to be back? Is playoff Lenny going to be back? Is AB going to be back? I don't know. But guess who said he coming back? Number 12, Tom Brady. And as long as they got Tom Brady on one side and Devin White on the other side, I don't know who's going to beat this team. Not when it counts. This team showed us that it's not about how you start. It's about how you finish. And they finished everything in an emphatic fashion. We all thought Kansas City was going to win. But we was wrong, and it wasn't even close. So I don't care what the odds say. I don't care that we have to try to think in the future. I'm thinking about right now. I'm thinking about the past, too. And it seems that Tom Brady ain't ever retiring, so until he does, we might not want to bet against him again.
There are no power rankings that matter except for Ryan Clark's power rankings. But I will just say this as I turn to Dominique for reaction. I believe the expression is RIP your mentions. Because I think the hashtag Bills Mafia is going to have a lot to say about not being one of the five best teams. Nick, what do you think?
Oh, so I welcome that. I didn't even notice that. So I welcome that because then they can get out of my mentions. Get away from me and go get on RC. But I can't disagree with the rankings. I'm proud of RC because on Monday we talked about how we all were high on Mahomes. So high on Mahomes that we forgot all the things we know to be true about football, that O-line and D-line play matters over everything else. So I'm glad that Ryan is back on the wagon. He got off of that narcotic and he is free of the addiction to Patrick Mahomes. But I got to be honest with you, I'm still chasing that dragon. If this was my power rankings, I'm putting Patrick at number one. Patrick LeVon Mahomes Jr., don't you ever forget the LeVon.
Mike Tannenbaum, what do you think? What stood out to you here?
I agree. Buffalo has to be in the top three. They have the best young quarterback not named Patrick Mahomes. So when you look at their nucleus coming back, I think they're
Deshaun
in the top
Watson?
Three.
Deshaun Watson and really, when you
Deshaun Watson, we don't know who he's going to be with. So that's why we have to give that a grade of incomplete for now. I love Watson. I just don't know who he's playing for. So I got to go with Buffalo in the top three. And my concern about Tampa Bay is how many of those guys can they get back? Shaq Barrett, the most notable.
Well, that's why these are the momentary power rankings, because there's a lot of things that yet to happen. If Aaron Rodgers isn't on Green Bay next year, I'm assuming you wouldn't have them at number three. And maybe more importantly, if Deshaun Watson winds up someplace like San Francisco, then Katie bar the door. All right, we got much more coming as we continue with Get Up Today. Oh, and I want to mention tomorrow night, we got some of the best players in the NBA on our doubleheader. You got Trae Young and the Hawks. They're in Dallas to take on Luka and the Mavs. That's at 7:30 Eastern. Then you got Giannis and the Bucks squaring off against Devin Booker and the Suns. Our coverage will start with Stephen A's pregame SportsCenter. That's at 7 Eastern, all tomorrow on ESPN. Coming up, a quarterback is the face of your franchise. Are the Cowboys facing a future without theirs? We'll get to that and much more as we get up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Lift every voice and sing.
Hank Aaron received numerous death threats as he approached Babe Ruth's career home run record. However, on April 8, 1974, Aaron broke baseball's most sacred record by hitting his 715th career home run. Aaron, whose career started in the Negro Leagues, finished his Major League Baseball career with 755 home runs.
What a lineup we have for you coming up Saturday night. North Carolina and number 9 Virginia square off 6 Eastern on ESPN. Then we've got KD, Kyrie, Harden, and the Nets taking on Steph and the Warriors. That's 8 Eastern on ABC. And then on ESPN Plus pay-per-view, 10 Eastern, it's the UFC 258 main card. So an outstanding night of sports as you see across the spectrum from you here on the Family of Networks. And with that, I welcome you back to our studios at the South Street Seaport. I am Greeny. It is Get Up, and we are with you commercial-free for about the next 16 minutes and change. Don't go anywhere. We have a ton of sports to run through. And then top of the hour, it continues as First Take will take over. Does Russell Wilson deserve more of a voice on the Seahawks personnel? First Take will dive into that debate as they continue with the top of the hour. But again, we're with you commercial-free for the next 16 minutes in our first order of business. We're asking each of our guys to do a play of the year. Dan Graziano, what was your play of the year?
Greeny, week 7. Seahawks Cardinals, Win Wilson's father throws an interception. Buda Baker, he's going to go all the way. He ran a 4.45 at the combine, one of the best times of any safety. But no, DK Metcalf, a cyborg created in a lab by Pete Carroll and John Schneider to help Russell Wilson, runs him down, tackles him short of the goal line. Arizona didn't even score after that. They stopped him on downs. Big play. Seattle lost the game, but
no question. Play. I remember NFL Films had him mic'd up there, RC, and I remember Buda Baker, who I know you love, the only thing he said was, how did he catch me? And it was such an honest such an honest reaction, RC. I can't argue with that. That's one of the plays of the year.
Hey, listen, Greeny, sometimes, you know what, God just makes them better than you. And you heard Dan say he was made in a lab. Oh, no, he was made in heaven. And I've had this conversation with y'all before. We all have shopping carts before the stork brings us down. And when he was going through, the dude in front of him is short. The dude in front of him has no muscle. The guy behind him, he can't run. He can't catch. Because DK Metcalf got it all. He got everything. They was just throwing stuff in his shopping cart in spades. And guess what? We saw it all on display right there. And Buda Baker probably has been the best player and the fastest guy everywhere he's been, but not now. DK Metcalf is a different type of dude.
So let me ask you a question here, Tannenbaum, representing all the geniuses who select all these players all the time. How in the world does that guy wind up in the second round of the draft? How does DK Metcalf, who when he walked in here to our studio during the draft process, I said, who's the linebacker? And it turns out he's a wide receiver who can chase down the fastest safety in the sport. How does that guy wind up in the second round of the draft?
Because sometimes we make really dumb decisions, like not taking DK Metcalf in the first round. We say things like he's a little bit too stiff or he can't get out in and out of cuts, and we're just completely wrong. And when you think about him and A.J. Brown on that same team at Ole Miss, how'd they ever lose a game? But everybody in the league, myself included, we missed it. Who cares if he's a little stiff? He has everything RC said and then some.
Absolutely. No question about it. Okay, that's an excellent choice for play of the year. Meanwhile, our lead story today, because it is fascinating, is Todd McShay's mock draft. You can see the whole thing right now on ESPN Plus if you're interested. But here's really the most important piece of it. He projects trades, and he is projecting something that has never happened in the history of the common draft, that the first four picks will all be quarterbacks, which I think is important. And then the second piece, it's important to note the order he has them going in. Trevor Lawrence, no surprise. Then Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Justin Fields. And he has Mac Jones, the quarterback from Alabama, also in the first half of the first round. So trying to figure out what team is going to do what is on some level an impossibility right now, especially since free agency is going to change so many of the things that we see. But that's why I say, first and foremost, the fact that that's the order he has them going in is fascinating to me. Ryan Clark, do you agree with that? Do you believe that of all of the players, that those quarterbacks that'll be in this first round, put Trevor Lawrence in a different bin, is the first guy off your board Zach Wilson?
He is. He absolutely is. And I've been on this show for the last 2 years just expressing my love for Justin Fields and saying how great of a football player I thought he could be. But when you watch Zach Wilson, it is different. He moves different. And no, he doesn't extend plays like Trey Lance and Justin Fields might do with their legs down the field, but he maneuvers in the pocket. He gets himself in the spaces where he can throw the ball. And all those things that we love about the off-angle throws or the sideline throws or diving and making plays down the field, he does that. And when you look at his rating down the field and his percentage of completed passes, it's higher than any quarterback that we have in the league right now. And so when you see a guy like Zach Wilson, you don't pass on him, especially in this age where they don't break the bank. That's a guy for 4 years. You want to see what his ceiling looks like.
And so Dan Graziano, the commonly used phrase about this draft is that it starts at number two because it has been a foregone conclusion from the moment the season ended that Jacksonville would take Lawrence at number one. The Jets, who have that pick, have some options. What are you hearing coming out of there as far as what they're leaning towards now?
And they do have options. What we've been hearing for a while is either the Jets will trade Sam Darnold and pick a quarterback at two or keep Sam Darnold and trade the number two pick to someone who wants a quarterback. It seems more likely at this point that they're listening to calls on Darnold, that they would move Darnold and take a quarterback, likely to Zach Wilson at number two. But as you mentioned, these things are fluid and a lot can happen to change. Look, if the Jets trade for Deshaun Watson, the Houston Texans are picking number two. So a lot still to be sorted out before the draft.
And Mike Tannenbaum, I would like you to pick up on that thought because you said something in our meeting this morning that I thought was worthy of repeating here. As far as the possibility, some might say, well, you don't want to give up too much in a trade for someone like Deshaun Watson. What would you say in response to that?
Are you kidding me? I would not get off the phone with Nick Caserio. If I'm running the Jets, I'm giving four first-round picks. I'm throwing in my wife, my daughter. I love my daughter. She's not salary cap friendly. Ooh. I am going to go get Deshaun Watson. He is Derek Jeter. He is Derek Jeter. And I'm just telling you, you are changing your franchise forever for the next 20 years. I'm just telling you, on first-round pick screening, you just talked about it. We miss about 52% of the time. If you have Deshaun Watson, you're going to have players walk to New York, the best city in the world, in the NFL, playing with a guy like him. It changes your team for the next 20 years.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things to keep a close eye on there. Ryan Clark, you got a reaction?
That Mike Tannenbaum would give up his children to win a championship? That's the type of GM I want, Mike Tannenbaum. I want the team to be above all else. You thought I was going to be upset. No, Mike Tannenbaum, you are right. If you want to get Deshaun Watson, you do not get off of the phone. And if your wife has to go, listen, and if you have to even pay child support for them to take your daughter, you do that because Deshaun Watson is that good, and we've seen what a transcendent quarterback can do for an organization.
And I will do my part as well. I'm more
so
than happy
to
rename.
So there we go. We got Watson. We got a safety.
I'm more than happy to rename my
Don't
children,
say it,
Deshaun
Greeny.
And Watson. I'm all good with that. They've been renamed so many times at this point. The confusion is something they're accustomed to. Okay, let's move on to the next order of business here. And this is Russell Wilson. What a day he had yesterday. He had a lot to say. First, he said a bunch of things on the Dan Patrick Show that we played for you. Then he also separately expressed frustration with the amount of times he's been hit in his career in Seattle. Listen to this.
The reality is that, you know, I've definitely been hit, you know, been sacked on almost 400 times, you know, and so we got to get better. I got to find ways to get better too, and so just continue to try to find that. You know, if you ask me about, the trust factor of it all, I mean, I've always, you know, put my trust in the Seahawks.
Fans are going to want to know, are you frustrated with the Seahawks?
I'm frustrated at getting hit too much. I'm frustrated with that part of it.
So, I mean, here's the numbers. You can see why he would be frustrated. He's been sacked a league high 394 times since he came into the league, and he leads the NFL in scrambles and scramble yards. No other quarterback has scrambled even 300 times in that stretch. And as you see, he's scrambled 430 times. So as I bring in the crew, and again, we've played a lot of him today. Dominique Foxworth, the first thought I have is, what has happened to Russell Wilson? Who has replaced him? What have they done with the Russell Wilson we've always known, who was the master of saying absolutely nothing when asked a question that could be even remotely controversial?
I don't know what they've done with him, but I hope he never comes back, and I hope this new Russ evolution continues. Because still, this is aggressive for Russ, but that's still kind of tepid. I want Russ to come out flaming, but I do have to be completely honest with him. It is fair to be critical of how they've built this team around him. But he picked the wrong stat, because I feel like the sacks, yes, the O-line hasn't been great, but a lot of the sacks are because Russ wants to be a magician, and a lot of their great plays come with it. It's a risk-reward, and I think Himbo in his trick trivia question earlier pointed out that Randall Cunningham had a bunch of 40 sack seasons. Part of that is because of the athleticism that he brings to the game that's dynamic. So Russ, the sacks are partially your fault, but the rest of it, you can blame them, and it is fair to demand that they be as excellent at drafting and developing players as you have been at throwing footballs and eluding tacklers.
RC, I was trying to read the look on your face. What was that?
Well, one, the fact that Russell Wilson has gone from Colin Powell to Farrakhan in a very short time is very interesting to me. Now, on the other side of that, now, we're talking about sacks, and we're talking about sacks, and it said sacks taken, hits taken. Like, when those things happen, that's on the quarterback, too, right? Like, why were we arguing with Carson Wentz? Why were we so mad? Because we felt like he was playing hero ball. But then on the other side of it, we was like, hero ball is kind of why we like him. Isn't that the same thing with Russell Wilson? Like, Russell Wilson isn't, let me hit my fifth step and get the ball out of my hand. No, Russell Wilson runs around and he makes these plays and he throws these balls into the corner of the end zone and Tyler Lockett catches them or DK Metcalf makes a big play. So some of this stuff is on him. And if you're tired of getting hit, do something different. But don't have your old linemen who are watching this or who are hearing this being like, well, dang, Russ, you tired of getting hit? I'm tired of getting to the top of my set and you running 5 yards back and now the defensive end is running around me. Like, come on now, bro. Like, you can't be the king of saying nothing, being quiet when you should be standing up or when you should be saying something, and then all of a sudden, one day you want to go on a show, then call a press conference? Like, come on, bro. Like, some of this is ridiculous. To say you might want to be involved in some decision making or some conversations is one thing. But to now be like, I'm tired of getting hit. I know a way not to get hit. Don't play football. Because as long as you do that, you're going to take some tackles.
I get it. But here's the other side. I was raising my hand because I always see you guys do that when you want to jump in. And here's what I think. You know what I think is happening? Dominique, I think Russell Wilson sees guys like Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers and all these others playing this late into their lives. And he also sees a lot of the quarterbacks who get hit a lot not. Cam Newton is done. I mean, let's hope he isn't. But I think the general conventional wisdom here is that Cam Newton is done at a much younger age. He's like half the age Tom Brady is. And yeah, he's done because he got hit so much. And I think Russell Wilson is thinking to himself, you know, I'd like to make $30 or $40 million a year when I'm 40 years old also. And this is not a good way to do that.
You might be right, but first of all, I want to thank you for respecting the hierarchy of this show on Wednesdays. So I'm glad that you raised your hand when you want to speak.
Of course.
But I do think that it's important to understand that I don't know if it's about getting hit nearly as much as it's about him seeing these other quarterbacks taking control and taking power. Seeing what happened with Tom Brady this year when Tom Brady took control of an organization and understanding that in the long run, this nice guy stuff might get you some endorsements nowadays, or it might get you some fanfare and some happy tweets in your mentions from here and there, but it is not going to get you into the Hall of Fame. He is probably going to be a Hall of Fame quarterback, but that's not going to get you to the Super Bowl. That's not going to get you an MVP trophy. What's going to get you those things is building around you and trying to win every year that you're there. Good play calling, good decision making, all that stuff he has not had in abundance up until this point. So right now,
and that's okay though, Dom.
Nearly, yeah. Go ahead, RC. No, Mike. RC.
No, I'm saying Dom. Dom, but you right, though, bro, but you don't do it that way. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, he was going in the right direction. I want to have learning. Some of these conversations. I want to do I some see. Of these things. He's and learning. He started feeling really good about it. Then he goes, I don't want to get hit no more. Or I've been hit so much. You so, can't, like, you don't do it that you way. Said, especially you said for a guy went, who never steps up about anything.
That's because you said he went from Powell to Farrakhan. It was funny, but it was wrong. He went from Powell to maybe Obama. He's in Jesse Jackson territory, so he is just learning. This evolution, he is just learning. He doesn't know how to do it right just yet. He's going to learn in a second. All right, Mike, go ahead, Mike.
Thank you, because I have You're 3 minutes left for something we've all been waiting Sorry, for all day long, and that is this, the Dak Prescott situation in Dallas. One more time, the Cowboys created this offseason controversy by releasing a 32-second hype video which features former legends, current players, including some current players that you don't even know who they are. You have to look up their numbers, and very noticeably not on this video is Dak Prescott. Their quarterback, Dak's brother Tad, reacted on Twitter with this emoji that got everyone knowing that he couldn't stand it. And Marcus Spears, watching you earlier, Neek, said, go crazy, Dominique. Guess who's Dak? I'm crying laughing at this dude. That would be a hell of a highlight video, though. You got 2.5 minutes to wrap up the show today. Go ahead, Neek. What should the Cowboys video actually be?
So first of all, it should be an apology to Dak Prescott. They should start it off by saying, I'm sorry. And I was on Rita Kimes' podcast today, and you should download, rate, and review that, talking about it. And she pointed out something that is probably true, is that it was probably a 19-year-old kid who made this video. And I don't want to come down on that person. But I do think that there is something to be said. There is a line of decision makers that have to check off on these things. And everybody must go except for the kid who made it. If you looked at this video and was like, all right, we got Troy. Yeah, that's good. We got Emmett. Oh, yeah, the fans gonna get hyped. We got this dude over here. I don't know. Special teams. People love that. And at no point did it cross your mind to tell this young social media manager, no, you forgot somebody. You forgot the man who is the only reason why we are decent. You forgot the guy, Dak Prescott, Rain, Dakota Rain, Prescott, you forgot him. Y'all need to figure this out. Now that just gave me an idea for another video. So here's the video now. We got a new video. First, they should show an image of a contract and with a dollar sign on it and just a blank spot next to it and Dak's signature at the bottom, and it should say, name your price. And then from there, they should go, the rain continues, and then show Dakota Rain Prescott coming up. And then they should go down again. This is where we end with the other one. At his feet one more time, and you slowly pan up in the darkness, and then you find his face, and you say, guess who's Dak? Light, come on, show it to you. You have Jerry Jones at the end doing like a real solemn, earnest apology, saying like, look, Dak, I'm sorry. There were mistakes made up in this process. I would like you to forgive me. And my way of apologizing is I'm going to give you my yacht, and I'm going to go full tanning bomb and trade you any family members that you will want. You can have them all. Full and here's 10% of the franchise because you mean that much to us.
That is
I'm sorry.
A virtuoso performance, outstanding from you, Dominique, outstanding everybody. Once again, I am not a cat. And Ryan Clark, I can't tell you how happy you are to have you here today. See you tomorrow. First Take starts now.